It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. You're going to make it awesome today. You are going to make it awesome. I am convinced of that. A few things I want to make you aware of that are coming up in the life of church. First of all, we're having a community fun day. We are hosting as a church a community fun day in Underwood Park down at Priestdale. It's an amazing park down there, and we've got a field designated that we're going to take over for a Saturday. It's on Saturday, June 22. You'll see this little colourful card out in our card rack near the welcome desk or the next steps area. Grab one of these so you don't forget, but also use one or two of these to invite some family and some friends. We're going to put it on Facebook. When we put it on Facebook, share it, like our page, Impact Church, and share it just to get families there. We're going to have a jumping castle, face painting, the lolly man, a few old-fashioned Sunday school picnic games. Who wants to be the lolly man? Worst job in the world. If you've ever seen kids come after a lolly man, you're not going to be volunteering for this, so we're going to have to appoint somebody. We're going to appoint somebody that's really slow. We want to see them get pulverized by the kids on that day. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a grocery wheel where you sit at the table and for a couple of dollars, you spin the wheel and you win a pack of groceries for $50 worth of value or something like that. It's going to be a good time. And sausage sizzle, and we're going to have coffee there and fairy floss and popcorn. And I don't know who else is going to turn up, but possibly lots of things are happening on that day. It's an event we want the community to come to. So the community starts with us. We're part of the community, aren't we? We are part of the community. And we want to do this kind of thing for our community, and we'll see how it goes, and we might just pop it up in a few parks around the place. We might go down to Yarrabilba, a lot of families down there near where we live, and do it in a park down there. Just give some fun back to the community and let them know Christians are not boring. Christians are not boring. Christians are not boring. Are they boring? We're not boring, but we're going to make it absolutely awesome wherever we go. That's a good deal. Make sure you get involved in that. Connect groups are on this week. Make sure you're in your connect group. They are nights to get together and connect and love on people, get to know people, share a few thoughts of the journey that we shared together in church on Sundays, and that's for all of us to be involved. If you want to know anything about your connect group or what your next steps are in church life, the next step zone is at the back of the hall to my left. Visit it straight after the church service, and there'll be a person down there just to help you get to know more about church world and church life. The other thing I want to bring to your attention is our food co-op. I want to talk to you for a moment about our food co-op because we're in a season where we're going to begin expanding what we're doing in our food co-op. For those that aren't aware, we run a little shop. Those doors there are the tradesman's entrance. The entrance is at the front of the building, through the roller door, then a glass door. And we've opened up this food co-op during the week on a Wednesday for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then on a Sunday, straight after the service, it's open for an hour. Originally, when we opened up this food shop, it was just to help people that were really, really struggling in life. And what we want to do is we want to expand that. We help thousands and thousands of people every year through that little shop. And we have a number of suppliers that supply us with food. When we first started, it was purely food bank, and it wasn't the best supply. Well, we've resourced other suppliers, and our supply of food is much, much better. It's literally like going straight to Coles is literally what it's like. And so we want to invite you, number one, to be a part of what we do in terms of that food co-op. The food shop is not just for the poor, it's for all. Not just the poor, it's for all. There's a lot of people that are actually poor that don't know they're poor. If they lost their job, they'd be poor within a month. They'd be out of their house and a mortgage would be impossible to pay. And so that means you're living marginally. So we want to help people. So we don't care what car you drive, what house you live in, what your suburb is. We don't care what your job is. We want to invite you to shop. Here's the deal for us. For every cent you spend in there, it helps us. It helps us. Every single cent. So soon, we'll have it really well stocked on a Sunday. At the moment, the stocking is not as good as we want it for a Sunday, but soon we'll have it really well stocked. We're going to ask you to stick your head in there and go in there and just have a look around. You won't be able to do all your shopping there, but you'll be able to do a little bit, which will help the cause of what we do as a church to help us reach in greater measure towards our community. So please get on board with that. We want to encourage you to get on board with that. I shop in there, we shop in there, and it's just a big help for people in terms of their day. day-to-day expenses of food and essential supplies. Now, we're going to let you know shortly, but we've set a date mid-July where we're going to open that shop 4 days during the week, not one day. So 4 days. So that means for 4 days, we're going to open it. We're going to double our opening hours. We're going to go from 11 till 2 is what it's going to be open for. It means we need volunteers. And so we need to have at least 4 volunteers a day for 4 days a week. If you've got some time available, you can drive a van, you can drive our little truck without a license, or you can help pack shelves and just come down and be a part of that. What did I say? Without a truck license, yes. Yeah, we'll let anyone drive, we don't care. We ask you no questions. No judgment here, no judgment. So if you can help pack shelves or do anything like that, we'd love to have you as a part of the team. We're desperately going to need help. This is really helping the community. It's helping the. If you would hear the stories of the people that come through that shop, it is amazing the change and the difference it makes for their world. And to be a part of it, you ask any one of our team that's in there on a Wednesday to see the people streaming into it. We have them lined up out to the footpath. They are lined up for hours before the shop opens. It opens currently at 9:30 in the morning. We have people here at 6:30, 6 a.m. in the morning lined up to get groceries. That's how good it is and what a difference it makes to their world. So we want to help them by not having them line up. We'll open it over 4 days and have a more casual shopping experience for everybody, which will be amazing. So your help on that would be greatly appreciated. How many of you think that's a great idea? I think that's an amazing idea for us to be involved in that and help people in that way. I am so looking forward to speaking today and just sharing with you the closing thoughts. I think they're the closing thoughts. I can't promise. I think it's the closing. Sometimes I say it's a close and then I've closed and I think, no, that's a premature close. I need to come back to that and close again. So fingers crossed. Everyone go fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, I'm hoping it's the close. We'll see how we go. It depends how well-behaved you are during this sermon. It depends how well-behaved. We're talking about filters, as Pastor Darrell highlighted with his new white jeans, which look amazing, by the way, Pastor Darrell. He highlighted during the MC moment that filters are something that we're all familiar with. Filters. They're in air conditioners, they're in cars, they're in fish tanks, they're in pools, they're in water tanks, and the concept of filters is you've got to look after them. You've got to clean them. You've got to clear them. Otherwise, they get cluttered. They get all clogged up with just the junk. That they're intended to capture the junk, the particles, the things that will actually poison you. And so filters purify so that we can be healthy. Well, it's exactly the same with what's called mental filters and spiritual filters, that we have things happen in life. Now, if you haven't had things happen in life, put your seatbelt on because things are coming. They are on their way. Stuff happens to us, disappointments, hurts, people's words, the way people treat us, our work environments, our relational environments, our financial environments, our hopes, our dreams, you know, they get splattered, they get shattered, they get damaged, we get hurt. And it's hard to cope with. And what happens is our mental filters and our spiritual filters are intended to keep us healthy. But so many people are challenged by mental junk. And I got to be honest with you, I spend so much of my time as a pastor dealing with the cluttered, clogged, clagged filters that people have that affect them relationally, that affect them in their faith, that affect them in relationship with God, with people in church. And I see people changing churches all the time, and they don't actually need to change churches. They need to change filters. They got the wrong message. We need to change. You don't change your car every time your car gets a dirty filter. You get a mechanic to put a new filter in. That's what you do. And so it's about caring for the filter so the machinery can travel much more smoothly. So we've been talking about how our mental filters and spiritual filters, they can fool us, they form us, and they fail us. They fool us. They certainly fool us. We all get fooled by our filters. We all get formed by our filters. And we all are failed by our filters. Now, don't be put off by this word, mental filters, because mental filters is simply a term used to describe cognitive distortion. Cognitive distortion, which happens for all of us in our minds. Distortion about reality, and we distort reality according to how we see it through the filters, with all the junk that we've absorbed through life. And I see it often in terms of counseling people. When I counsel somebody and two people get together in a relationship and one of them has a very damaged pathway and a damaged journey, well, the other person pays a tax. They pay a tax for all the relational damage that's happened to the person they now love. And there's a lot of argy-bargy and difficulty working out that new relationship because of the tax that you pay. And when you're the person that's come into that relationship and you haven't got a great deal of junk, you pay this tax. And you sometimes wonder what's going on and why you're getting the reactions and the behaviors and the responses that you're getting. You're getting it because of the tax from somebody else, the damage that somebody else has caused, and that filter is not being cleaned out. So part of the trick is to help your partner unpack that cluttered filter and clean it out so that the relationship can get on a steady level. And so the cognitive distortions, we all deal with them, where our perception and our understanding and our outlook is affected by a faulty filter. I'm going fast today because I have so much to say. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Cognitive distortions. You know, when our minds are out of alignment with the thoughts of God as a believer, as a God follower, as a Christian, when our mind is out of alignment with the thought of God for our world, our life, our behavior, our attitudes, when our minds are out of alignment with the way God wants us to think, then what happens is we accumulate in our filters unhealthy and limiting beliefs and distortions that affect our total outlook on life. But then again, it affects everything to do with our lives. And when this distortion happens, we start to see God differently. We see God differently. How many of you know people that see God differently to the way you see God? Yeah, lots of them. I sometimes have conversations with Christians and I think, do we worship the same God? Like, seriously, I wouldn't follow that God that you believe in, because that's not a God I want to follow. And I'm pretty sure that's a distorted perspective of who God actually is. We need to be careful about what we embrace as a belief. And when we have these cognitive distortions, we see other people differently. We see ourselves differently. We see our function in life differently. And we see life in general and the expectation we have of life differently. It causes us to question God. It causes us to doubt and question ourselves, and it causes us to question the people around our world and our personal environments and spaces, and it just causes us trouble and conflict wherever we go. Whenever our filters are cluttered or faulty, we get stuck. You ever been stuck in life? I'm an expert in that. I often found myself stuck, and I've become an expert in stuckness and unstuckness, in learning how to get unstuck in life. And so I want to share some thoughts out of that experience for you today, because I'm a professional. I think a lot of people feel stuck in life where they stop growing, they stop making progress and give up, cave in, and they actually stop participating and they lose their presence in the spaces of life that God has actually called you to stand up in. And I think it's such a vital issue that God wants to break open in our hearts and our minds today. Listen to what Paul says. This is our text we've been working from the Amplified Bible. And once again, Pastor Darrell said he likes the Message Bible because it makes it simple, because he's a kids pastor and he can understand that. I like the Amplified Bible because I speak to big kids and it makes it simple for all of us big kids. Who likes that? I like that. Paul says, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh and untarnished, I love this language, a fresh and untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. So Paul's saying we need a fresh. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look fresher. It's a TV ad about mints. But mints are not going to help your mental attitude. They might help your breath, but they're not going to help your mental attitude. You need something else to help you stay fresh in terms of that. Paul says a fresh, untarnished mental, spiritual, and attitude. In other words, for us, in our language, it's to have a clean, uncluttered, fresh filter that's unaffected. So Paul here is making a point, and his point is this, is that we need to be aware of the spirit of our mind, the way we transact conversations with ourselves, the thoughts we have, the attitudes we develop, and we need to be very aware they don't stay fresh on their own. You've got to be intentional about keeping it fresh. It's like your breath. It's like having a shower. Shower once, shower twice a day. Why? Stay fresh. Stay fresh. There's something attractive about freshness. There's something repulsive about something when it stinks. I remember when I was a youth pastor
and young men as they're growing up, and their bodies are changing, and they need to learn to use deodorant. I used to carry deodorant with me. When they lift their arms, it's just like, man, you just need a good spray. Don't come near me. Just stay away. I don't know how your parents put up with that. It's just terrible. There's nothing worse when boys are hitting puberty. They just need to be sprayed every day in every way because it affects, that aroma affects everybody. You know, when you're sitting in church near somebody that has that, or you're sitting on a plane, why is it every time you travel internationally, the person that does not wear deodorant because they think it's a cool thing to do sits right beside you or next to you or in front of you? Or behind you. And that aroma, which they're totally unaware of, affects everybody. And everyone on the plane is sitting there looking at each other like, oh, you're kidding me. All the way to London. All the way to Dubai. I have to put up with this. We need to learn. It has to be fresh. We need a fresh and untarnished mental and spiritual attitude to deal with the junk. Paul puts it a similar way in another verse that's well known to us. Romans 12:2, where he says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating that. Don't embrace that. That's not going to do you any good. He says, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. Here's the key. This is the fresh mint for your soul, for your mind. Paul says, be transformed inwardly by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. We need a total overhaul here. This will empower you. How many of you want to be empowered today? Come on. I want to be empowered. Paul says, this will empower you to discern God's will. I don't know what God wants me to do. Have a real transformation and you will. He says, it'll empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. You know, the plan of God is for us to live a beautiful life. A beautiful life. You know, the sad consequence is if you don't have a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, you will live a brutal life rather than a beautiful life, and get out of the brutal and come into the beautiful. Turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to the beautiful. Not the bold and the beautiful, welcome to the beautiful. Welcome to, it is the bold and the beautiful in another way. Welcome to the bold and beautiful life that God wants you to live. And it comes through having a total reformation. Today I want to talk to us all very intentionally about how our mental filters either hold us back or move us forward in life. They either hold us back or move us forward in life, and it's our choice. God has given us the empowerment. Whether we embrace it or not is up to us. It's our personal choice as to whether we embrace the plan and pathway, the journey that God has for us or not. And I want to talk about how they hold us back or they either move us forward. I've got two thoughts, two big thoughts for you today. I've got several preliminary thoughts. Good preaching today. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be awesome. I believe it. Two big thoughts and then some preliminary thoughts. And these preliminary thoughts are about how we do church. So you need to listen very carefully to me right now. I'm speaking to our church leaders right now. I'm speaking to everybody that calls this place home. I want to speak into the future of our church, and I want you to listen to some key thoughts I have about the modeling of church for the future of our place here called Impact Church. They are principles that will also apply to yourselves personally, to each one of us. And here they are, several principles and thoughts. Number one, any thinking that causes us to settle where we are is a faulty filter. Any thinking that causes us to settle where we are as a church, as a family, as individual members, any thinking that causes us to settle where we are is actually a faulty filter, a faulty filter. You know, progress demands that we deal with our faulty filters and we clean out everything that clusters in them on a regular basis. If we don't deal with the clusters, they consolidate. They consolidate and they clutter and they clog and they clag. C's are in today. If you don't deal with the clusters, they consolidate and they clutter and they clag your filter so that they don't function properly. So faulty filters, they cause us to settle. They cause us to settle with the status quo, with the average, to the way it's always done. One of the comments I hear in church life whenever we introduce modeling changes or want to introduce modeling changes is, well, we've always done it like this. Yeah, well, if we always do it like that, we're always going to get the same result. You're always going to get the same result. Every now and then you've got to trick it up. You've got to trick it up in terms of modeling so that you ride the wave of what God is doing in the community and the nation and in the world. Like, I go back long enough in church life to be of the prehistoric age. Any friends out there? I remember when we used to have an overhead projector out the front. I actually remember being the overhead projector boy out the front with those little transparencies and putting the song words up, and I was so cool at it, and every now and then you'd muck it up and put them on back the front or whatever, and sitting way out the front of church, you were the overhead projector. And I remember the hell to pay when we got overhead projectors. We got rid of them and we bought in projectors and screens and all that. I remember the days when you had a grand piano in church, and you had everything else was acoustic and just a grand piano, and then you had some acoustic guitars and that was acceptable, nothing electric, just acoustic guitars. Then I remember the transition into electric guitars. That was wild. Now we had a band. All of a sudden they weren't off the stage, they were on the stage. I remember the days when they started to bring smoke machines in church. I remember the days when colored lights started to come. I remember the days of widescreen projection, now TVs on stage. And I've come through all of these different transitions in church life. And this is my conclusion about the good old days. The good old days weren't actually that good. Thank God for today. Thank God for today. I don't want to live in the past. I want to live in the future of what God's doing. I don't want to be a dinosaur. I want to be part of the new nature or the new future that God is designing. Don't ever stop. Don't ever settle. Don't ever camp. Don't ever stay where you are. Move on into the future. New models are only scary if you're a camper. If you're a settler. If you're a settler. And I think that God is saying to us as a church and to our leadership that we can't ever settle. We're always arriving, but we never arrive. I kind of find every time I just can't think I'm catching up with God, it's like something new has broken forth and God wants to take us into a new way, into a new day, into a new season, and into a new moment. So in the future of church world and church life, I see the day where we'll trick up and change some of the things that we do. Some of the things we do now are so limiting, so limiting. Like, if I want to bring a guest speaker in, if I want to bring some of my friends from the United States or from London in, and I have them there that are mentors to me, that mentor me personally, and that I listen to and I glean from, if I want to bring them into our church, we have several scenarios that are big issues for us. Number one, we're much too small an organization for them to come to sometimes because of the expense to get them here and the fact they've got to lead their own church congregations. Because some of them are pastoring tens of thousands of people and they got to get on a plane, travel 20 something hours to get here, cost us about $5,000-$10,000 to get them here and have them come, and they're away from their family, they're away from their own leadership, their own teams and everyone like that, and we have them here and it takes a week of their time and it costs us thousands of dollars to honor them and everything that we do. It's just not a good economy to do it that way when we have such much better systems today that we could work with. So in the future, what we could actually do, if we do something with our screens, and we've done quite a bit with our screens, if we do something with our screens and give Dale, you know, a lot of money to play with down the back there, Dale, what we could do is rather than have to pay an airfare to get them over here and 20-something hours of their flight time and then 20-something hours back and then have them jet-lagged and only performing half as well as they actually can and to be here speaking to us, I can put them on a screen and simulcast them from anywhere in the world. And they can stay home and we can have the best of the best of our friends come and speak to us on a screen. Now, I've done that before. Cheryl and I were at Edge Church in Bristol. And Edge Church is a church we have some relationship with. And we were at Edge Church visiting there. And Pastor Jonathan Fontanarosso, who's the global pastor of Edge Church in Adelaide, he was on the screen simulcast from Adelaide. And yet here we were in Bristol, England, hearing the same sermon from the same service they were conducting in Adelaide, projected to us in Bristol. Pastor Jonathan welcomed Cheryl and I while we were there. It felt amazing to be a part of the environment. It's just a new way of doing things. But, you know, the moment you mention it, some people think, well, I don't want to go to church like that. I want to see the flesh and blood out the front in terms of the preacher. You know, you don't have that in terms of your TV. In terms of you turn on a TV and we're quite happy to watch a movie or a show. I mean, you don't have Oprah sitting in your lounge room talking to you, do you? You don't, for lots of good reasons. Imagine us being able to have Pastor Danny, who's our apostolic father, who lives in Adelaide. Imagine us being able to have Danny speak to us from Adelaide without him having to get on a plane because he's got cancer. He's not well. He's in recovery, but it's challenging for him. It's exhausting for him. Imagine if he could actually stay home and speak to us and have the same kind of impact, and he could do that in multiple places around the world. Imagine in our city here, in Logan City, imagine if we had a number of campuses here as a church throughout our city where we didn't have to duplicate, preach, and have five different sermons going out, but we could simulcast the different areas of the city and have an expression where one preacher speaks to our entire church community that's in five or so different campuses around the city. That's a possibility for the future if we just think creatively, if we just have filters that think beyond boundary and don't live with this kind of settled attitude. I think anything that settles us will ultimately keep us small, and we need to be open to I think if Jesus had that in his day and the Apostle Paul had that in his day, rather than Paul traveling to Lystra, to Derbe and Sinca and all the Iconium and all these different places and going on missionary journeys on a donkey. How many of you would go on a missions journey on a donkey? I don't even like getting on a plane, let alone a donkey. Some planes I've been on have felt like donkeys. But imagine getting on a donkey, going on a missionary trip. Took 3 years to go on these missionary journeys. Imagine if Paul could sit there with a camera and with a camera speak to the entire Christian world at that time. I think he would have done it. I think Jesus would have done it. I mean, we're impressed that Jesus went to a mountain and thousands of people gathered there. Imagine if thousands of people were gathered everywhere hearing Jesus speak. He would use that technology. There's no doubt about that. Because it's about the effectiveness of reaching people in the most productive and efficient way for everybody and for all concerned. So anything that causes us to settle where we are is actually a faulty filter. You see, healthy filters cause us to believe that God has more, that God has more in life in terms of what we're meant to enjoy and be. Because God is not a settler. God is a creator. God is an initiator. God is a designer. God is the God that makes something out of nothing. He makes a way where there is no way. So this is a big challenge for me because of my personality. It's a challenge for me. I am called to be an initiator, a designer, a pioneer, a creator. I am called to make something out of nothing, called to be godlike in that. So I will not make nothing an excuse. I don't have enough. How many times do we use that as an excuse? I don't have enough. I can't afford it. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I can't is really big. And I need to bring my I can't down with he can. He can. He can. He can empower me. He can empower us to do these kinds of things. So refuse to settle with this thought, well, we've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. Let's be creators. Let's be initiators. Let's be designers. Let's be architects. Let's move it forward. Let's push it forward. Let's be dreamers. Let's dream the things that are possible. Let's make stuff out of nothing. Let's make a way where there is no way. Filters that cause us to freeze frame life and take a picture of life, they are faulty filters. They will hold us back from being a pioneer, from being creative, from being initiators and being designers. My second thought is this before I start to preach. Healthy filters cause us to believe that God has more. They believe us to have God has more. And then any filter that keeps us thinking small is a faulty filter. We need to think bigger because God's a big God. He's a big God. He's a creative God. I mean, look around the universe, the immensity of God, the immensity of his presence, the immensity of his power. Any filter that keeps us thinking small is a faulty filter. So I and we collectively as a church community, we need to learn to think with that creative thought that God has beyond boundary, beyond border. Think creatively. Think like a pioneer. You know, we were pioneer pastors. Our team, we pioneered a church and we started with nothing. We started with nothing. We started with no guarantee of anything, no people, no money, no hall, nothing at all. And out of nothing, something was created. Something is only ever created when people with nothing realize there's potential in nothing. God looked at this world that was created dark and formless and he made something out of nothing. Be one of those kind of creative people. I think that the goal and mission of a lot of people in life, which is to be comfortable, is a really small world. I think that comfort and convenience are way overrated. Fulfillment will never come from being comfortable. Fulfillment will never come from taking the convenient pathway. It comes through a desire for growth and a desire to progress, a desire to push ourselves. So don't settle, don't think small, and don't ever make it about comfort. Here's my big thoughts for today. My big thoughts are these. You can have progress or excuses, but you can't have both. You can have progress or excuses, but you can't have both. I want to read to you a passage in the Bible that has often confused me, and I'd like you to physically open up your Bible if you've got a Bible today. I know I've got it on screen. I'm going to have it on screen. But I want you to physically open your Bible because I want to show you something today that you've probably not noticed, and it's something I didn't notice, and it's something, this passage confused me when I spoke from it, and I have spoken from it before. It confused me about the kind of God that God is. And the way I read it, the God that's in there was not a God I wanted to serve. And that's why it confused me. I'm going to show you why. John 5, verses 2 to 4. It says, "Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate, a pool, which is Aramaic. It's called Bethsaida, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades or porches. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?' And he said, 'Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' And then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked." Now, this is a nice little reading in the Bible. It's a nice little passage. What I'd like you to do is go to your Bible now. I'd like you to read it. And I want you to follow me. I want you to look at verses 1 to 3. Look in your Bible. Have a read of them really quickly. Verses 1 to 3. When you get to the end of verse 3, you'll notice there's either an asterisk or verse 4 is missing. Anyone got a Bible with verse 4 missing? Put up your hand if you've got verse 4 missing. Have you ever seen that before? Verse 4 is not there. It goes 1, 2, 3, 5. Let me tell you why verse 4 is missing. Verse 4 is missing out of a number of translations or versions of the Bible. It's missing in the NIV, the New International Version. It's missing in the ESV, the English Standard Version. It's missing in the Contemporary English Version. It's missing in the New Living Translation and a number of others. It's included in the King James, and it's included in the New King James. The reason it's missing is this. The scribes are very intelligent, very trained in terms of the translating of the text. The scribes, when they scribed this particular passage from the original manuscripts and the most reliable manuscripts of the Gospel of John, discovered that verse 4 was an addition, and it wasn't actually part of the original transcripts for the interpretation of what John shared. There are five Greek words in there that John never uses in any other part of his book. Very unusual if John wrote it. So there were a number of things that just stood out to them. And the verse relates to the angel of the Lord coming and stirring the waters once a year, and the first one into the pool was healed. That's the verse that is removed. And the asterisk is put there as a warning to future scribes to take care, to take note. There is an anomaly here, and verse 4 should not be put in the modern translations of the Bible. Now, it always caused me a lot of confusion when reading this and preaching this, because I never understood why it was that the angel of the Lord came and stirred the waters, and once a year the first one in, and only the first one would get healed. I mean, how unfair is that? These people are crippled. They're lame. They're blind. Imagine once a year when the water stirred and they could rush into the pool to get healed. Imagine the chaos of blind people and lame people and crippled people trying to be the first one to get into the pool. Well, the reason and the overarching reason that verse 4 is left out is because verse 4 is all about a cult. And this whole context here is about a cult that existed in that day from Greek mythology, from a god called Asclepius, however you say that. Asclepius. We'll call him Asclepius. The pagan god of healing is who he is. The pagan god of healing. Now, I was with Shane Willard a few weeks ago and sat down with Shane and a few other guys, and Shane was just talking to us about the Bible. Every time we sit down with Shane, it's like you feel like such a student, like you feel like student 101 in a new Bible college every time you sit down with Shane. And Shane's explaining this passage, and he said this. He said he went on a tour of Israel, and he came to the Pool of Bethesda, and he's there, and he's talking to his guide, who is a Christian Jew, rabbi, about this actual place. And he said, I've always been puzzled by what happened here, how the angel would stir the water and the first one in was healed. And the guide said, Shane, you don't actually believe that the stirring of the water was God's work, do you? You don't actually believe that that was God, our God. He said, how unfair would it be for our God to stir the water and say, hey, first one in's healed, bad luck for the rest of you suckers. First one. He said, Shane, it's a story of mythology. It's about this cult, and they had numbers of centers around here where they put up these healing centers, And the mythology was that once a year the waters were stirred, and it was actually stirred by a natural process of a bubbling spring that would spring up every now and then. And they would have stooges that were set because the lame and the crippled and the blind couldn't actually make it into the pool. The pool was 40 foot deep. They would have drowned by jumping into the pool. So they'd have someone that looked like they were healed jump into the pool and get healed, and everyone would celebrate. That's why the lame and the blind and all that were crippled were there year after year after year. So Jesus walks into this pagan environment where this mythology is rampant. Remember, he is the healer. He is the healer. He's not the angel that came to stir the water once. He came to stir and shake the water forever, and not for one, for all mankind. So he walks up to a man who looks like he's been here for a long time, and he says to him, sir, do you want to be made well? And he's like, man, I've been here for 38 years. I've been a cripple for 38 years. What do you think I want? And Jesus came up to him and literally introduced himself and stood in front of him as the healer of life, and really literally is saying in an unsaid form, you don't need the water, you need this water. Remember, Jesus had this story in John chapter 4, same story, the woman at the well. The water I give you will bubble up inside of you, living water. And so here's the analogy that Jesus is saying, you don't need that water, you need me. And here I am right in front of you. Do you want to be made well? That's the message that Jesus has for all of us today in this world. That Jesus has come into our pagan territory to blow away all of our self-imposed limitations and self-imposed beliefs and our clogged filters, our mental filters, to set us free. And he wants us to know he's come here to set us all free, not just special people, not just a certain brand of people, not just a certain socioeconomic level of people, not just people of a certain tribe and tongue, but all people. He stirred the water of life for forever. Give the Lord a hand. What a good deal. The man responded, I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me into the pool. He didn't need a man to help him. He needed God to help him, and God was right in front of him. Here's the thought. Often God stands right in front of us and we don't even realize it. Go, wow. Wow. Oftentimes God stands right in front of us and we don't realize that he's in front of us. So a faulty filter held him back by circumstances which he thought he had no control over. You know, we can't always control our circumstances. This is the truth of life. You can't always control your circumstances, but we can always control our response to them. We're always in control. We're always master of the response that we have to circumstances. We always control our own attitude or our own filter and the way we process stuff in terms of our thoughts. But this man, he took the posture of, I'm a cripple. 38 years I've been like this. I will be like this forever. I have no one to help me. I can't do anything about this, Jesus. And yet Jesus was asking him to do the only thing he could do, which was believe. Yeah. Believe. And that's all we can do, is simply believe. Simply believe that God can help me in my situation and in my circumstance. You know, the truth is, not everybody actually wants to get well. It's a sad reality about life. Not everybody wants to actually get well. Many people are stuck, and they don't really want to be unstuck. They don't. They don't want to be unstuck because they're comfortable with being stuck, because where they are has actually become who they are. And whenever where you are becomes who you are, you're in trouble. Don't ever allow where you are to become who you are, because that's not who you are, that's just where you are. You may find yourself in a season of being stuck, but don't make it your home. Don't make it your habitat. Don't get comfortable with it. For many people that are stuck, their stuckness has become their communication. They talk about it everywhere. They talk about it with everybody. It's become their story. It's become their conversation constantly. And Jesus just wanted to know of this man, do you want to be made well? And my question to you today is, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Do you want? If you want to be made well, Jesus is here to help move life forward. Jesus just wanted him to do the one thing he could do, which was believe. I believe with all my heart that a lot of people could stand up if they just would stand up. A lot of people could stand up if they just would stand up and believe in God. And people say to me, well, you don't understand, Pastor. You haven't been where I've been. You haven't gone through what I've gone through. I know I haven't, but God has. The Bible says that Jesus was tested. He was tormented in all ways like we are in everything. And he is one that understands and has empathy and compassion and will stand in front of us. And when we say, I've been here for 38 years, well, Jesus will say, well, today's the day to come out. Today's the day to stand up. You know, the truth is God wants to help us all. He's our helper. He's our deliverer. He's our conqueror. He's our hope. He wants to move life forward and set us free. So we can either have promises or we can have excuses, but we can't have both. And the reality is I can't, that attitude, it's going to keep you exactly where you are. It won't take you forward. This is what Paul says, for I can do everything. Everyone, so would you just say everything? I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. He says, I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. That's the Passion Translation. I love the wording of that. I find the strength of Christ's explosive, not just power, explosive power, it infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Here's a big thought. You need to write it down, take a photo of it. You're not trapped, you're tricked. Turn to your neighbor and say, that is so good. You need to say that with a bit more passion. I'm not trapped, I'm tricked. I'm not trapped, I'm tricked. You know, the Bible says Satan is the father of all lies. He doesn't need to bring any new lies as long as we're believing the old lies about who we are and who God is and who people are and what that circumstance meant about you and for your future. And this is literally the message of Jesus today. You're not trapped, you're tricked. And when you're tricked, you are actually trapped. You're trapped, you're held hostage, imprisoned to that circumstance and that situation that you've allowed to empower life when Jesus wants to bring literally his explosive power to infuse us so that we can conquer every difficulty. You're not trapped, you're just tricked. You know, the reality for all of us is the future doesn't change until the filter changes. Future doesn't change until the filter changes. You know, God called me to be a preacher a long, long time ago. When I was a young man, I always knew that this is what I wanted to do. This is what I felt was my God destiny, my God thing to do in life, my God shape. It took me a while to get there. It took me doing some other things for a while to get to where God wanted me to do. And I never found it an easy journey because I wasn't comfortable being here. I've just had a good friend walk into the hall that I've known for about 35 years, and he will attest to this. And he knows me from back then. He used to be my youth leader many, many years ago. G'day, Ian. Good to see you. And he will know this story, but it's very true that I was shy. I was really shy. I was very introverted. I wasn't comfortable talking with people. I wasn't comfortable around people unless I had a cricket bat in my hand or a hockey stick in my hand or a football in my hand. If it was sport, I was great. Put me on a stage and I was nervous, really nervous. You wouldn't have walked into a room and picked me to be a leader, not a natural leader, not a born leader, not a God leader. You would never have seen me as a pastor or a preacher in any regard at all. But this was my God journey. So I had to deal with a lot of junk in my filters over the years. Deal with a lot of junk that held me back and made me nervous. When I walked into a room of other preachers and they seemed so eloquent and they had huge stages and platforms and ministries and they were so creative and so dynamic and so visionary, and I felt so insecure and so awkward in those spaces and places of life, and I had to fight to challenge the filters that were inside of me to create and become the kind of leader and person that God wanted me to be. I had to learn to reinvent myself. I had to learn my language. I had to learn my zone, my space. face, and I had to own it, and I had to see myself the way that God saw me. And so these prophecies, these words would come from speakers towards me, and it was of the future, and I could kind of hear it, but I couldn't really see it, and I certainly couldn't be it until the filters were cleaned out and God enabled me to be who I am today. This is not the natural me. And so I've had to kind of morph and work through that. And I've had some very good people in my world that have helped me, and team that have helped me in every regard of that, in terms of embracing the discomfort and the awkwardness of doing what God had asked me to do and called me to do. Because I really ultimately believe this. I believe that Christ's explosive power was infusing me to conquer every difficulty. And you and I all need to believe that today, because we all have our limitations, our mental filters that block us and stop us from doing and becoming and being the person that God wanted us to be. So it wasn't easy for me to grow, but I knew I had to grow, and I knew where I needed to grow. So I've gone on a journey for decades of growing and morphing and becoming an amazing person that I am today. And like when I tell people I'm shy today and I'm introverted today, many people don't believe me because they see me on stage or they see me interact with people. But I wasn't always as good as I am now with people. Not that I'm not that good now, but I'm much better than what I used to be. I never would hug anybody at one stage. I just wasn't a hugger, and I felt like every cell in my body would react when someone tried to hug me. And now I purposely hug people. So look out after the service if I give you a hug, because it's a part of my growth. It's a part of my development. It's a part of pushing back those filters that tell me I'm not a hugger, or that tell me I'm not a people person, and I want to stay away from the party, and I want to stay away from the celebration, and I want to stay away from the event, and I want to stay away from the stage, and I just want to hide. And God said, you've got to come out and be who I've called you to be. And it's a message for every one of us today. And I want to say to every mum and dad, don't look at your sons and your daughters for where they are today and the circumstance they're in today and the situation they're in today, because God looks with different eyes. He looks with different eyes, and we need to see things the way God sees things. So here's my question for you. What about you? What is it that holds you? What limits you? What is it that controls you? What is it that is essential for you to grow through to become the person that God has called you to be? What is it that you need to do to move life forward? What is it that you need to do? What traditions are there? What are the things that are holding you back? Like for us as a church, I started by saying about the traditions that kind of hold us back, or we've never done it this way before. Well, that's probably a good reason to start doing it a different way. And learn some creativity. It's the same in our personal lives also. What is it? Can I remind you of this today? Can I remind you that greater is He that is in you than he is in the world? You have that infused power in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in... Greater is He that is in you than he that is in your circumstance. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in your situation, than he that is in your dilemma, than he that is in your heartache, than he that is in your anxiety and your circumstance and the things that keep you awake at night. Greater is He that is in you. Greater is He that is in you than is in your limitation. Greater is He that is in you than is in your excuse. Greater is He that is in you. He's in your purpose. You're created with a purpose. You're called for a purpose. I simply want to remind you today, God's not finished with you. Wherever you are, you're not done. So stop thinking you're done and just start doing it. Get some swoosh on you and just do it. Get some swoosh on you, Nike, and just do and be what God has called you to be and do what God has called you to do. You're called to be an overcomer. Paul says it this way, Romans 8, he says, despite all these things, what things? All the pain of life, all the heartache of life, all the junk of life. I got so much country and western in my life, it is unbelievable. We've all got it. Despite all these things, disappointments, I've had a few. Despite all these things, heartaches, too many to tell you. Despite all these things, sleepless nights, unbelievable. Despite all these things, pain, you want to see pain? Despite all these things. Do you have any friends out there? Anyone living life that way? It just happens. Life has its way of doing it. Despite all these things, Paul says, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. Oh, I love that. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. Then he says, and I am convinced. What are you convinced about? I'll tell you what you're convinced about. You're convinced about what you keep talking about. Because what you're talking about is convincing you. That's free.
So what I'm convinced about, he says, nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, Paul says, can separate us from the plan, the purpose, the path, the journey that God has for us. Nothing can separate us from the grace, the favor, the goodness that God has for us. Circumstance will always try. Here's my last big thought before we have communion. Any filter that causes you to hold others responsible for your life is a faulty, messed up filter. Your life is your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, your life. Your life. Any filter, any mental filter, spiritual filter that holds others responsible for your life is a faulty, messed up filter. News break. Breaking news. No one else is responsible for your happiness but you. No one else is responsible for your happiness but you. So smile. Just smile. Don't give them the power. Don't give anyone that say. They do not have that license over you. They don't have that power over you unless you give it to them. You're responsible for your own personal happiness. Stop empowering the people in your past. Stop empowering the people at work. Stop empowering other people in church life. Stop empowering leaders. Stop empowering anybody that you are giving the authority to be the person that holds the key for your own personal happiness. Stop playing the freeze game where we freeze a face, we freeze a circumstance, a situation, a person, a pastor, a leader, a small group leader, whatever it might be. Don't freeze frame and hold them accountable for your personal success and your personal happiness. Framing leads to freezing. Framing leads to freezing. It'll freeze you in that posture for decades unless you warm up to God. Stop blaming God. Don't blame God. Don't blame others. Don't blame yourself. Just assume responsibility to get happy, to get successful, and to move life forward. Don't impose self-imposed limitations on your life. The limitations you have are self-imposed. Break them free. Break yourself free from self-imposed limitation. That faulty filter will always limit you from moving life forward. The belief that someone else holds the key, you need that person on board for you to be happy, for you to be successful, that's a problem. Someone else is the reason why? No, they're not. Don't give anybody that authority, that permission, and that power. The paralyzed man in the story said, I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me. How many times do we say that as human beings? I have no one to help me. I just need someone to help me. No, you don't. Help yourself. Help yourself. A lot of people could stand up if they just would. They could stand up if they just would stand up. Imagine being this paralyzed man, 38 years, watching other people jump in the pool in front of you, apparently get healed, according to mythology. The tradition said only the first one in was the lucky one. And Jesus comes along as the healer of the day, heals him, heals others everywhere, goes to the cross, pays the price for our ultimate healing in every way. Literally, Jesus was saying, don't look to someone else. Look to me. I'm everything you need. So do you want to grow? Do you want to create? Do you want to design? Do you want to build? Do you want to be the initiator of life, the architect of life? Do you want to become? Do you want to increase your world, your faith, your influence, whatever it might be? Then deal with your filters that are holding you small. I think if Jesus stood on stage today, he would say this. I think he would say, I've given you the power to change. I've given you that. I've infused you with my explosive power. I've infused you with my Holy Spirit. I've infused you with everything you need. You don't need another seminar. You don't need another conference. What you need is the presence of God living and working in you, the Word of God washing and cleansing you continually to give you a fresh and untarnished mental attitude. Can I have our team come to stage, please? So the truth is, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do everything God has called me to do, and so can you.
I cannot be held back unless I choose to be held back. I cannot be held back unless I choose to be held back. I will not give people authority over my success, and I will not give people authority over my personal happiness. I will own that. I will live in that space. I will occupy that place. I can grow because I'm created to grow. Would you stand to your feet with me? I can grow because I'm created to grow. I'm created to grow. I'm created like God to be a designer, an initiator, a builder, to think creatively, to think beyond the boundary, beyond the border. I'm created to get beyond my excuses of, well, this has happened to me, so I can't do that. Or I don't have this, or I don't have that, whatever the limitation might be. I'm created to have a fresh, untarnished mental attitude, like Paul says. I need that continuously. The renewing of a mind is not a once-off event. It's a daily occurrence that needs to happen. I can make progress. I can get unstuck. I may be in a challenge. It may be difficult. It may be painful. But I'm not going to lay down. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I've had nothing before. I may have nothing again. But nothing is the perfect place for a miracle to take place. Nothing is what God delights in. There is nothing we can offer Him. There is nothing we can do to earn our standing with God. There is nothing we can do to be forgiven. He's done it all. He stood in front of this paralyzed man and he just wanted to know one thing. Do you want to? Would you close your eyes? Here's my question. My question is, do you want to? Do you want to what? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to grow? Do you want to be that creative person, that explorer, that pioneer? The excitement's in the risk. Not in the comfort. It's in the risk. Humanity was created for risk. Created for challenge. Created for resistance. The resistance you feel is not a sign that it's wrong. The resistance you feel is a feeling you have because of the territory you're about to take. The resistance you feel is a sign you're actually walking the journey in the way God has asked you to walk the journey. Don't look for the path of least resistance. That's the path of convenience. That's the path of personal comfort. The resistance is your encouragement. The resistance, the voices that come against you, that says to you, you're doing something right. That says to you, you're in a zone. That says to you, you're making headway in the right direction. Don't ever be concerned or alarmed about resistance. Be concerned when it's not there, because you grow strong. You grow strong in resistance. If you can learn to do the resistance thing well, you can become the head and not the tail. Because you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed coming in. You'll be blessed going out. You'll know that you're a conqueror. Overwhelming victory will be yours despite all these things that are happening around about you. If you're here today and you're on a pathway of getting to know God, you're not there yet. You're on the path. You're attracted. You're inquiring. You're asking. Can I speak to you for a moment? Can I just say to you that God's got a plan for you? You don't need someone else to stir the waters of your life. You don't need someone else to hold the key to success and the key to your happiness. And what you need is to understand who's standing before you right now. It's God. God literally standing right in front of you now, speaking into your world, your heart, your life. And I want to give you the invitation that Jesus gave to that paralyzed man for 38 years, where he wanted to break him out of every excuse and the circumstances he was in and come and redeem his heart. Same invitation applies to you today. Do you want to be made well? Because being made well starts with the cleansing of your heart. I know there's other issues. I know there's other circumstances. But it's like when we go to a doctor and we think, I need you to look at this. And the doctor goes, no, I need to look at this. Because this is actually affecting that. And it's your heart. The cleansing of your heart. Being made right in your heart. Having Jesus forgive you of your sin. Having Jesus make you part of his family. Having God direct your world. Coming into a relationship with him. Not a ritualism, not a religion, but a relationship with God. That's the start of your healing. The circumstances are things that God works on as you journey with him. But it all starts with the core of the issue. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So how's your heart today? Is it right with God? If not, I want to give you a moment to say yes to Jesus this morning. I'm going to ask you to do something simple like Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethesda. I'm just going to ask you to respond in a moment by putting up your hand. All I'm going to ask you to do is put up your hand and look me right in the eye. And you can stay where you are. I'll stay where I am. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not bringing you out the front. When I see your hand, I'll ask you to put your hand down. I'm going to pray a prayer for those that lift their hands, saying yes to Jesus. It's a prayer of asking Jesus to come in and cleanse your heart and make you right with him. Mostly all of the people here today have done that. But the really important question is, have you? Because this is what's actually holding you back. This is it. If you haven't made that decision today, I'm going to ask you to make that in just a moment. Maybe you've had a religious background. Maybe you've had a relationship with God like that. And you went to a certain style of church. And you thought you had a relationship with God. Or maybe you did. But you walked away from it. And today you want to come home and say yes to Jesus again. This is your next step, is to ask him to come into your heart afresh today. So while no one's looking around, eyes closed, if that's you today, you want to make your heart right with God by believing in him, receiving what God has for you today, which is his gift of being made right with him, becoming a God follower, someone that learns to love God with all of their heart. If that's you today, would you lift up your hand right now? Let me see your hand. Look me right in the eye. I want to make eye contact with you. You can put your hand down. And in the privacy of this moment, God's going to come into your heart with his explosive presence and begin to change the thing that needs to be changed before everything else. Just quickly, if that's you, lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. Look me right in the eye. By doing that, you're saying, Pastor, I need to say yes to Jesus today. Today, right across this hall. Quickly, if that's you, lift up your hand. Let me see your hand. And look me right in the eye. Thank you. Would you look at me? Filters. We all have them. We all need to deal with them. We all need to clean them. If you don't know what faulty filters you have, just ask your friends. They'll tell you. They'll tell you. That's if you have a strong enough relationship with them. And they're the kind of friends you need. You don't need friends that tell you you look good in something when you actually look ridiculous. Have you ever seen someone turn up somewhere and you think, you need better friends? I often see that. It's like, you just need better friends. You just need someone that says, that thing on you should never be in the same room as you. It's the wrong color. It's the wrong look. It just doesn't work. You need those sort of friends that can do that nicely with a confidence that they can remain your friend. Don't do that to me. We're going to have communion. We're going to serve communion. But I'm also going to open up the altar if you just want to come. Maybe when you've got your communion, just come and stand down the front. We're going to sing this song. It all begins around the throne. We're going to lean in and worship God as we call an end to this series, Filters. Because maybe you just got some and you need to be man enough. Turn to your neighbor and say, be man enough. All the girls love that. Well, if we've got to be the bride of Christ, you can take that for a moment. Be man enough. Or be woman enough. I am woman, hear me roar. Come on, roar. Come and stand in his presence. We're going to lean in, worship God. Take the communion, just hold it and wait until we all get served. We're going to partake together.